Good morning. For those that may not know who I am, my name is Adam, and it's a privilege that I get to be with you guys here today. Just sharing you with you, we're in the middle of the summer concert series throughout the summer, and we've heard some songs throughout the week, and we have a new week and a new song and another opportunity basically to hear someone's story. And that's the way that I've looked at each of these, because behind each song there is a message, behind each song there is meaning, and behind each song there's a time in that artist or that band's life when they were experiencing something, and that's what went into the song. And so if you dig around and take a little time to figure out what's happening, it really is a story. And as I thought about that idea, right, that we're listening to someone's story through song, I thought about, you know, that's really what church is about. That's what relationship is about. Because think about how important it is to listen to other people's stories. You listen to what people share and the things that they're going through, you know, and it's one of those things where what happens? You hear the story, you engage with, you listen to them, and then as the church or as maybe a friend, you say, you know what is it that God would have me do to help that person through, or maybe to learn what it is that they're facing, or just to encourage them or pray for them or help them to see what God's truth is. And it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter whether we're listening to stories from people that are far from God or close to God, because we can't judge people, but probably many of the artists that we've listened to over the past few weeks, we're not sure where they are. Many of them may not have a relationship with Jesus. They may be far from God, or we may have the opportunity to listen to other people's stories, and maybe they're struggling in the relationship with God, or maybe they're pursuing God as hard as they can in their life. But it shouldn't matter, because everyone's story needs to be listened to. Everyone's story needs to be heard. And then it gets to the point where we listen to that story, and then we figure out whether or not we need to respond to something that God's asking us to do, or whether or not we need to engage and help those people to maybe see the truth of Scripture, maybe to see the way that Christ can transform their lives. So I think we need to listen to everyone's story, whether they're far from God or whether they're close to God. And so what is the story in that song? And so some of you may know, some of you may not. A little bit of background for that song. Stevie Nicks, this is before she was in Fleetwood Mac when she originally wrote that song. And so she was spending some time in Aspen, Colorado, and you'll see as you listen, if you looked at the lyrics, you'll see some of the imagery of the mountains and the snow-covered mountains and those kind of things. That's what she was looking at as she was looking out her window as she was thinking through these things. And it was a difficult time that she was facing in her life. She was trying to make her dream come true in the music business. And some things hadn't happened. They had created a great record. She thought it was going to be great. She thought everyone would love it. Guess what? Nobody loved it. To the point, the fact that the record company dropped the record that she had. So here she is in a point in her life trying to figure out whether or not she was going to continue to pursue her dream or whether she was just going to forget about it, go back to school, get a job, whatever she was going to do. So she was facing that point in her life. And also right on the doorstep, her dad was going to face a serious surgery at the Mayo Clinic. So here she was in Aspen, Colorado, trying to figure out. And she got to the point, she's looking out the window, the imagery, she's thinking, you know, at any moment something could happen, a landslide, an avalanche down the side of these mountains. And she's thinking, that's what my life feels like. I'm not happy. I don't feel like my life is going where it wants to go. There's all of these pressures, there's these fears, there's these anxieties, and I feel like at any moment, like a landslide, this thing could wipe me out. And I don't know if I can stand. I don't know if I can face those changes that could happen, that are about to happen in my life. And so I think those are some of the things that we think about. Think about that time in your life. Think about that imagery, this idea that, you know what, there's so much going on in my life, there's so much uncertainty, or maybe there's change going on in my life that I don't know that I can handle it. You know, the ground under you is shifting and moving, and it doesn't feel very solid, it doesn't feel very familiar. So I think we could all, if we think back, if we have memories of those times in our lives, we could relate to what that feels like when things are changing. And we're not sure, are we going to be swept away by all of this stuff that's happening in our lives as we try to face them? So whether we're far from God or whether we're near to God, maybe we're just somewhere in between on that journey, we face those landslide moments. And I don't know if you've ever seen a video of a landslide or ever witnessed one, but I mean, they are destructive. They take out things in their path. Anything sitting on the land that is sliding is completely swallowed up or swept away. It can bring damage and devastation the same way that kind of picture can happen in our own lives as we face changes, as we face difficulties. And so the question here for us this morning, what can we do to be ready when those landslides come? Because Things can be very unstable in our lives. And here's the thing, if our lives are already shaky and unstable, when those landslides come, it's going to be even worse. So what are the things, what can we do to try to be prepared? What can we try to do to be as stable and as ready as we can when things start changing, when things start shifting in our lives? And so I want to look at the book of James today. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. So if you want to turn there or find that on your device, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Let's pray. God, thanks so much for your presence here. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, I pray that as we sit here, as we discuss, as we think, as we reflect on your word and how it intersects with the experiences of our lives, Father, just help us, convict us. God, just show us, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the ways that you want to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look at James right before these verses, if you're familiar with it, James is calling us and saying, hey, in the midst of anything horrible that's happening in your life, I want you to consider choosing joy. I want you to consider that hey, these things God is using, these tests God is using to build endurance, to bring you to the place and help create in you the person that God wants you to be. And that's a tall order in the face of hardships and trials and tests to choose joy. And so he lays that out, and right after that is where he starts to talk about these verses that we read here today. And I think they're there for a reason, because God never says, choose this, be like this, do this thing for me, and then leaves us hanging. He will immediately say, hey, these are the things, I'll follow it up. These are the things that are very practical. These are the things that can help you and guide you as you try to lean into these things that I'm calling you to do and that I'm calling you to be. So right off the bat, as we see in these verses we just read, James mentions wisdom from God. And he mentions that first to ask for that, because that's the foundation. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes, but that's the foundation, wisdom in God. And that's the thing that's going to help us most when we're trying to figure out how we can have lives that are stable and that are ready for those tests, that are ready for those landslides that come in our life. But before we get there, let's take a look at what happens when we aren't living that way. Let's take a look at what happens when we're not making decisions out of God's wisdom. Let's take a look at what happens when we're not trusting God, the things he says, and that we're not necessarily living this way. And so this is the problem. The problem that we see in these verses is this: instability. The problem is instability. Look what James says in verse 8. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything that they do. And so other translations, if you have other translations in front of you, it may talk about this idea of being double-minded and unstable. And double-minded literally means that you're two-spirited. You have two spirits that are pulling in two different directions inside of you. And when your loyalty is divided between two things, when your priorities are divided between two things, you constantly have something that's competing within you. You're pulled at two directions in the same time. And what happens when you're pulled in two different directions? If you're not focused on one thing, and you're focused on more than one thing, what does that cause? It causes confusion when it comes time to make a decision based on that priority in your life. It causes confusion. It causes disorientation. And honestly, the bottom line, what happens is it makes us unable to follow God the way that we need to. It makes us unable to make the decisions that please him, and quite honestly, it makes us unable to sometimes stand when those landslides come, when those shifting things happen, those changes occur in our life. You know, it's this picture. If you have a compass, right, what is a compass designed to do? It's designed to point to the true magnetic north that pulls the needle. It guides you and it shows you what to do. If you were walking around with a giant magnet in your pocket, it would mess with the compass. It would pull it in two different directions. The compass would want to point the way that it's supposed to point, but it would point, because of the magnet in your pocket, it would point a different direction. It would be competing. It would probably maybe land somewhere in the middle, not really pointing in one direction or the other. We are constantly making decisions in our life based on what our priorities are. We either go here or we go there or we do this thing or we do that other thing. We're constantly having to choose whether we're going to follow God's wisdom and his words, the things that he says, or if we're going to follow someone else, if we're going to follow something else, or if we're going to trust in maybe our own wisdom, our own experiences, the things that we've learned in our life. We're always trying to make decisions based on those things. In these moments, when that time comes to make a choice about who you're going to follow or what you're going to do in life, being double-minded makes you unstable. The things that you think and the things that you do become unstable. But what does an unstable life look like when you're unstable in different areas of your life? What does it look like? Well, we're going to talk about three quick areas: unstable emotions, unstable relationships, and an unstable spiritual life. The first is unstable emotions. So, I don't know how many people would consider themselves emotional. Maybe women would raise their hand, but I don't necessarily align myself with that, because I think for a guy, I think I can be pretty emotional. So, but you know what happens when your emotions are unstable, when they're out of whack. If it's a roller coaster feeling, your emotions can control you. Your emotions can sometimes wreck you and keep you from making a good decision or a right decision. Think of the emotional instability when you can't quite make the decision that you need to make in your life. You're wavering between what you want, what others want, maybe what God wants. There's worry and there's doubt and there's confusion as you're trying to make this decision. You have all these emotions. Sometimes it makes us sick. I mean, emotions can wreak havoc on the body. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You ask yourself, what should I do if I make this decision? Am I making the right decision? Is it wrong? The emotional burden when we're trying to make decisions that have to do with our relationship with God. Think about those kinds of feelings that go with that, how he wants us to live, those standards. We feel like he has these incredibly high standards for us that he's calling us to live, and what kind of emotions does that bring about in us sometimes as we're struggling with that? Sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel unworthy. Sometimes we just feel like a failure. And all of those unstable emotions, when we're having all of those feelings and then we're trying to make the right decision, we're trying to make decisions in honor and follow God, those emotions can derail us. Those emotions, when they're not stable, can just hinder us from making the decisions that God wants us to make. Unstable emotions, they can literally be like a prison to us. They can keep us trapped. They can hold us back. They can keep us in a cycle of defeat. Over and over, defeat and failure. An unstable life often has unstable emotions. The other thing that an unstable life can have is unstable relationships. Does anybody here believe that following the world's wisdom or following our wisdom in regard to relationships makes them unstable? Yeah. Just look around. Look at the world. Look at what relationships look like when you follow the world's standard and wisdom, or when you follow even our own. Relationship wisdom from somewhere else other than God, what does it do? It destroys marriages. It dishonors relationships, dating relationships, friendships. When you're following wisdom from somewhere else other than God in regards to relationships, it doesn't bring about families the way that God had intended them. It wrecks them. It turns them upside down. When we're following other kinds of wisdoms, it doesn't allow friendships to become all that God would want them to be. It confuses, it distracts, it derails, even within the church, when relationships are unstable. And it distracts the church because we're so caught up in these unstable relationships with each other, there's no clear way to see what God wants to accomplish. We lose track of the vision. We lose track of what church is really about because these relationships with one another are unstable. Another part of unstable lives is an unstable spiritual life. Look at what James says in verse 7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know, we hear stuff like that in Scripture, and those aren't easy things to hear. What does that mean? I can't mean that. God's loving and God gives. But we have to know the truth. When we are riding the fence, when we're not focused and making decisions based on what God has for us, when we are living that way, when we're serving more than one master, when we're putting anything before God, when we choose to follow any other wisdom but God's, when that's how we're living, we don't have much of a case when we throw our hands up in the air and we say, why, God? Why is my life falling apart? God, what's going on? Why does my life look like this? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Being double-minded gets in the way of God giving you everything that he has planned for you in your life. Everything that he wants to do in you and through you, being double-minded, not being focused and committed only on him, gets in the way of him giving you that fully. Being unstable in your mind, your heart, and your life, how can that not lead to being unstable in your commitment to God? Instability in your life keeps you from having all that God has for you. If you don't absolutely trust and believe that God can accomplish something, if you don't believe that, then why would he? Why would he accomplish that thing if you're saying, God, I'm not sure that you can do this in my life. I'm not sure that you can do this in me. I'm not sure that, God, you can do this through me, and I'm not willing to choose you above everything else. I'm just not willing. If you don't absolutely trust and believe God's way and wisdom, that that's the only right choice, then how can he give you the full, purposeful life he wants to give you? Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We don't like the word must. We don't like to be told that we must do anything. But we look in this verse, and it clearly says must. We must believe in him. We must trust him. We must believe in his wisdom and in his way. We must have that faith in him if we're going to come to a relationship with him, if we're truly going to follow him the way that he wants us to follow him, and if we're truly going to receive everything that he has for us in our life. So we can see that instability causes problems. But where do we begin to solve this instability? And this is back to that very first thing that James talks about in this verse. What is the solution? What helps to get us on the path to solution for our unstable lives? And it's wisdom. Simply, James tells us basically to get God's wisdom in 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now, obviously, this isn't the first time in Scripture that we hear about wisdom and we hear about the importance of wisdom. And so we're going to flip back a little bit. We're going to rewind earlier in Scripture. We're going to head back to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 1, where another instance, another time when wisdom was the key, when wisdom was the answer and the foundation for living the way that God wants us to live. So if you know anything about the Old Testament, even who you don't have to be a scholar, but most people have heard of David, right? David in the Old Testament. So here's David, right? And in many ways, King David, if you read the story and follow the life of King David, in many ways, King David was the man. King David was the man. He was a king. He was a warrior. He was an athlete. He was a harp builder. He was a harp player. He was a songwriter. He was a poet. David was in touch with all of his sides of who he was. He was handsome. David was popular. He literally had it all going on. But all good things do come to an end. And so David came to the end of his life, and it was time for things to change. Israel had been left in the hands of his son Solomon, who understandably, think about that, following in that kind of father's footsteps, who had all of that in life, who had accomplished all of those things, who looked like that, who was able to do all those different things. Think about the inferiority complex that Solomon could have trying to follow in these footsteps and trying to be able to lead this country. And so Solomon goes to a place called Gibeon. He goes to the tabernacle of the Lord where the Spirit of God dwells, and he makes an offering to God. He seeks God. He seeks him out, and he needs some advice. He needs direction. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 7, 2 Chronicles 1. We're going to read 7 to 10. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied to God, "You showed faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" Man, God says, ask me. I will give you whatever you want. Because of his love for Solomon's dad, because he respected David's son, God says, you name it and it's yours. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? Anything. I thought about if God asked me that question. There's a part of me just knowing myself that I would mess it up. If I was allowed to ask for anything, that I would somehow mess it up. Sort of like this. There were three men on a deserted island. They had been shipwrecked there. It had gotten to the point where they were completely over talking. They had exhausted all of the things, the ways that they could play games together and entertain themselves together. And they were getting it to the point where, you know what? I just really miss my life. Each of them. We just want to be back to where we were. We want to be back with our family. We want to be back with our friends. We're tired of this. And so one of the men found a bottle as he was combing the island. Guess what was in the bottle? A genie. Ha, you guys are awesome. There was a genie in this bottle, right? And so the genie comes out, and guess what the genie offers each of them? A wish. And so they're at the end of their rope, and they're not going to wish for food. They're not going to wish for anything like that. They just want to be back. Forget the rescue ship or anybody coming. They just want to wish right back to where they were. And so the first guy comes, and he says, you know, I want to be back with my wife and kids. I miss my work. I miss my family. I just want to be back home. Poof. He's gone. And so the second guy comes and he said, you know what, I miss the little things. I just miss every day getting up to go to work. I'm so sorry that I ever complained about that. I just want to be home. I want to spend time working. I want to spend time with my dog. I just want to be home. And so, whoosh, he's gone. Poof, his wish. And so the third guy's sitting there on the beach and he looks around and he realizes that no one else is with him. And he says, you know what, I am so lonely. I sure wish that my two friends were here with me again. Just like that, I would screw up the responsibility of making what do you want? Anything, God says, anything that you want. And so he asks Solomon that. But in the situation where God gives Solomon the chance to ask for anything, Solomon knows what the key is. He's focused in that moment. He knows what he needs to ask for from God to be able to lead, to be able to live and become the person that God was calling him to live and become in that moment. The foundation was wisdom. And look at God's response. God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or a long life, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will have in the future." Does anyone think that Solomon made the right choice? I think so. Look at God's response. Because he asked for God's wisdom, he got it, and he got a whole lot more. When we make right decisions based on God's wisdom in our life, when we make those right decisions and those right choices, when we choose what honors him in those choices, he gives us a full and abundant life. Yeah, sometimes it's crazy stuff in this world. Sometimes it's wealth. Sometimes it's things that he gives us and blesses us with. Also, we can turn around and bless and take care of others. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. When we respond to him that way, when we choose the things that honors him, when we make decisions in our life based on his wisdom, the most important thing that he always brings is healing. He brings restoration. He brings a changed life. He brings victory and freedom to us when we choose those things. God honored Solomon's request because living by his wisdom was the key for Solomon to live and lead and live a stable, Christ-centered life. In verses 5 through 8, James gives us three practical steps in seeking God's wisdom, if we're asking for that as the foundation. And so he gives us three practical steps. The first one is that we need to admit our need. Admit our need. The first part of verse 5 says what? If you need wisdom, right off the bat, if you need wisdom, how would you know if you lack wisdom unless you take the time to examine yourself, unless you take the time to come before God to say, God, what is it that I need? Do I need help in making this decision? If you're lacking something, if you're not sure about something in your life, then you need it. Then you need something. So the first thing you need to do is examine yourself and admit your need. How many of us have so much wisdom that you'd say, I don't need any more? I don't need any more. I'm good. I know that this is a tough one, right? Because some of us feel very educated. Some of us feel like we've been through the ringer, that we've lived life, that we have a lot of experience, that we have a lot of wisdom to share. So to be in a place where you say, humble enough to say, I need God's wisdom to make this decision. I need God's wisdom to know what to do. So that's a hard place for some of us, to be, and it's a hard thing for some of us to admit. But the honest truth is that we all desperately need a continuous flow of God's wisdom to figure out what he wants us to do, sometimes on a daily basis. We all lack wisdom in some areas and in some moments. We don't know everything. We can't always see things the way that God sees them, through his perspective, through his eyes. And so God tells us to admit our need. God, we need you. We need your wisdom. I need your help in this if I'm going to make a choice that is stable and that honors you. I don't know if you noticed that Solomon asked for both knowledge and wisdom. Why? Because they're different. Wisdom is knowledge put into practice. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view, from God's perspective, and then it's choosing to live that way once he's opened our eyes to it. Do I always see the things the way that God sees them? No, I don't. Absolutely not. And that's why I need wisdom. That's why I need God's wisdom. We need to admit the need, and then we need to actually do what? I need wisdom. What do we need to do? What did Solomon do and what did James say we need to do? We need to what? We need to ask for it, right? You can admit the need, you can recognize the need all you want, but then you need to ask. You need to ask for wisdom. James says, if you need wisdom, ask God for it. And I know you're going to say, come on. You know, of course we should be asking for God's wisdom. But if we're honest, each of us could look back in our lives at moments and times when we say here in our heads, yes, I should have asked for God's wisdom. That would have been the right thing to do. But for whatever reason, we didn't. Whatever reason, we chose not in that moment to admit that we needed it and to ask for it. So I don't think it's a bad thing that we're reminded here this morning that we need to admit it and we need to ask for it, because there are times when we don't. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But what about us, the everyday ordinary people, right? Solomon, man, he gets God coming, right? He's seeking God. He wants advice. He wants help and wisdom. What does he get? He gets God coming to him, talking to him personally and saying, what do you need? What do you want? Ask me for anything. Ordinary people, I don't know. Honestly, that has never happened in my life where I've had that kind of experience where God, yes, he's spoken to me, but never that he's manifested himself or I've heard clearly an audible voice. Those kinds of things have happened for some, just not me. What about the everyday ordinary people? What about us when we're asking God, how does he speak to us? How does he get his wisdom to us? And I just want to just a little bit of a side road just for a minute on that. Because there are two ways. There are other ways, but there's just two that I think are important for us to pay attention to this morning. How does he speak wisdom to us? One way is through others. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. You know, God didn't create us to be by ourselves. He didn't create us to live solo. We need relationship. We need to be in relationship with others. And anyone who tries to say that we don't need others, I don't need anybody else, I'm fine by my own, I can get by, they're either in denial or they're lying. Because that's not how God created us to be. Now, some of us he created to want to have more relationships, abundant relationships, the extroverts, and some of us are happy with a few. But deep down, God created us to be in relationship with others, and part of being in relationship with others is allowing them to speak into our life, especially if they're godly people that you know are seeking after the heart of God. When they share a piece of wisdom or advice with you, that's something that we should pay attention to and listen. That's a way that God speaks to us in our life. You know, our tendency when our life is unstable is to isolate ourselves, especially when we feel guilty or ashamed of something. But the reality is that's when we need it the most. That's when we need to be listening for God's voice in others the most. That's when we need to be reaching out to other people, to open ourselves up and to allow them to speak to us, allow God to speak into our lives through them. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Sometimes we live life together, and sometimes someone else can see something in us, or God can help them see something in us that we can't see for ourselves because of the thing that we're facing or the circumstances that we're going through. And God can use them just to help clarify our thoughts, just to clarify our feelings with some of the stuff that we may be wrestling with. So God can speak wisdom through others, and God can speak, perhaps most importantly, he can speak wisdom through his word. Listen to Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That certainly sounds like God's word isn't only reserved for the crazy, desperate times in our life, but that God's word is something that can help illuminate just the next step in our everyday life. That he can help us and give us wisdom and clarity and focus to be able to make the decisions that we need to make on a daily basis. God has offered to give us answers and to help with each and every problem, each and every issue that we wrestle with. If we're thinking about a decision, if we're wrestling with something and we haven't given enough time for God to be able to speak to us through his word, then you'd better be aware that you're probably making an unstable decision. If you haven't given God the opportunity to speak wisdom into your life through listening to others, but also most importantly through listening to his word. So practical steps in seeking wisdom. Admit our need, ask for wisdom, and then the third practical step is ask in faith. We need to anticipate an answer when we ask. James says, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. Notice, depending on the translation, it says, with no doubting, without wavering. If you want wisdom, ask the right source, and then ask in the right way, believing that God is going to answer you, believing that God has an answer to help you in any situation. The moment that we stop trusting in his word, what he's saying, the moment that we stop believing and trusting in those things, we're in trouble. The moment we don't believe that God is going to come through, that he's going to give us wisdom and help us in a certain situation, the moment that we don't believe that his ways and his wisdom are highest and best, in those moments, that's when that instability creeps into our life. So we looked at the problem, instability, the solution, wisdom, and finally there's the promise, God is faithful. And this has a lot to do right on the heels with trusting that God will answer. God is faithful. Look at verse 5 again. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you or asking. Here's the thing. God wants to give us wisdom. He wants to help us in whatever it is we're facing, whatever decision we need to make. He is eager to give you wisdom. It's not some kind of secret. His ways, what he wants us to do, the decisions that we need to make, the strength to be able to make those decisions, all of that, it's not some secret that he's hiding and hope that we'll never find out and never guess. He wants to guide us. He wants to help us and give it to us. We don't need to pry it from his hands. He is ready. He is willing. He is waiting for you to come and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your help in this. We have to want it. We can see some of the greatest parts of this promise that God is faithful in the few specific words that James uses. He calls God a generous God. It means God wants to give in this way, openly, liberally. He doesn't want to hold back. He wants to give bountifully. God gives, and he wants to be able to give some more. God always will give over and above what we need. He will always give above and over what we deserve. The second phrase is, he won't rebuke you. Without reproach in those verses, that literally means without showing his teeth. Right? God is going to give when we come and ask. He never gets tired of us coming and saying, God, what's the right move here? How should I be living? How should I be acting? What decision or choice should I make? God never gets frustrated for the fact that he is growling at us, snipping at us, showing his teeth at us. He is not frustrated at us when we come and ask us those things. He wants to be able to give wisdom time and time and time again. He wants us to be in that kind of free relationship with him. Some people give us things. If you've ever experienced someone giving you something grudgingly, that's not God's character. I am so glad in my life, as I think about all that I've been through, I am so glad that God likes to give. That God has given me mercy, that God has given me grace and love and salvation. And then in the daily grind of living that out, I love the fact that he has promised and wants to freely give me wisdom, the how-to, to be able to live the way that he wants me to live. Are there areas of your life that are unstable as you sit here this morning? Are there things that you know that God wants you to do? Are there decisions that you know that God wants you to make, but maybe you just feel completely unstable? I don't know how I can make that decision. I honestly don't know what the right choice is in that situation. God wants to help you. God wants to walk through it with you. He wants to give you the wisdom to know what to do and how to do it, how to live. Because his desire is not for us to be unstable. His desire for us is not to be unable. He wants the exact opposite for us. He wants us to live lives that are stable, based and founded on his wisdom, as we make those choices that are sometimes difficult to make, and he wants us to be able to. We're going to close in prayer as the ushers come forward for offering. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is true. We thank you that it never changes. And God, that's so unlike much of the world around us, God, that is constantly changing, constantly moving. But Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God who does not call us to be your sons and daughters, who doesn't save us. You're not the kind of God that does those things and then leaves us to figure it out on our own. Father, thank you for being a God who wants to continually interact with us. Thank you for being a God who wants to continually pour into our lives through wisdom and help and strength. God, I pray that we would be a people who would be open and honest and humble enough to ask for your help this morning. And Father, I pray that we would also be humble and open enough to reach out to those around us that you've placed in our lives. that we may hear your voice and your wisdom through them. God, just help us as we seek to not live lives that are precarious, lives that are unstable, but we seek to live lives that are based on the solid foundation, on the solid rock of who you are. Lord, we pray for your wisdom. We ask for your wisdom here as your church this morning. And Father, just help us as each of us on our own, personally, will come to you and ask for your help and your guidance. We thank you for your faithfulness this morning. You are so good and you are so faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the SLW Community Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this ministry of Sandy Lake Wesleyan Church. For more information about what you've just heard, or to learn more about us, check us out online at www.slwchurch.org.